Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Saturday, January the 13th, 2024, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joe with me. And it's so cold here, folks. Chiefs game right here in Kansas City, or I'm in Topeka, 100 miles west, but Kansas City, they're supposed to have the Chiefs game tonight, playoffs, and it's going to be 0 to 1 degrees above when the game starts. We're supposed to have 40 below zero tonight here in Topeka with wind chills 40 to 80, possibly below zero because of this cold front that's sweeping the nation. Anyway, I just want to bring that up. It's cold here. But, Jim, what do you got to report on today?
Stu, in my opinion, it's entirely possible we're being the subject of weather warfare in the effort to promote the depopulation agenda. The confluence of weather conditions is so extraordinary. I cannot believe this is a naturally occurring phenomenon, and the consequences are likely to be enormous. It's roughly comparable to taking out the Nord Stream pipeline for Germany so the Germans can put a cold winter with no gas. At least no cheap gas, where now the latest theories are reporting that the United States wanted this to happen deliberately so that Europe would be more dependent upon America for gas so we could benefit economically from their suffering. I think what's going on here, maybe the globalists see an opportunity by manipulating the Arctic stream to create weather conditions that are going to actually lead to a significant loss of life right here in the United States.
I'm in agreement with you, Joe. You want to add to that?
Well, for all of those people that are not really heard about this, go to geoengineeringwatch.com, and Dane Wingington will explain it all for you. Like, for instance, he did on his January 6th podcast that ingratiated the air. Like here in Arizona, it's dry, but it's very, very cold. And what they've done is to chemicalize the air to make it colder. And Dane gets into the reason of why they're doing it, and so give him a listen.
I posted his past three shows up on my break news column yesterday, and Dane's on top of it. He knows what he's talking about. And but, folks, we're talking about some real massive amount of damage this is going to do. So I suggest, because tonight's going to be the coldest probably in the country, at least in the Midwest, turn your water on. Not drip, but turn it on a steady flow, a small steady flow. Otherwise, you might have frozen pipes. And we might have a massive blackouts all across this country, which means if you don't have that water running or you don't shut it off in your basement, if you have a basement, you're going to be in trouble. But what else you got to report on, Jim?
A great deal going on in the world today, Stu. I think the most important story domestically, the Texas National Guard has taken control of the border. Some would say it's about time. The Border Patrol is restricting the invasion of illegals, so they're being restricted by the National Guard of Texas. In an effort to reduce illegal border crossings, Governor Greg Abbott ordered Texas troopers to seize control of a public Eagle Pass Park overnight, defying the wishes of city officials. Eagle Pass Mayor Rolando Salinas said the Texas Department of Public Safety informed him Wednesday that the state had received an emergency declaration from Abbott to take full control and custody of Shelby Park. This is a very good move. Meanwhile, is getting a fair amount of attention. Here's Colin Rugg tweeting just in. Texas National Guard has seized Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, preventing Border Patrol officers from entering the area as the border crisis spirals out of control. Good to see Texas taking matters into their own hands. So, the Biden regime strikes back. If you wanted evidence of the criminality, of the treason of the Biden admin, here it is. After Texas National Guard seizes control of Buckley Park Eagle Pass and kicks out the Border Patrol, the Biden admin is striking back. The state of Texas has seized the property along the riverfront under the governor's emergency power, including federal processing location and equipment, according to multiple sources. Now under the emergency declaration, Texas is doing what it needs to do. Instead of enforcing federal immigration laws, the Biden admin allows unfettered access for Mexican cartels to smuggle people into our country. Texas will continue to deploy the Texas National Guard, GPS, and more barriers, utilizing every tool and strategy to respond to Biden's ongoing border crisis. This is major stuff.
Now, I'll add to that. I noticed that on the news, they were showing, I forgot where I saw it, they were showing that they had a busload of immigrants come to New York, and hundreds of people came out of and surrounded the bus, wouldn't let the immigrants out. So, American people are starting to say no more of this. But, Joe, you want to add to it?
Well, what they're... the best idea to do this is go take a look at, let's see if I can remember this, borderhawk.news, and they give splendid videos along with Anthony Aguero, so that you can see the number of people literally just walking through. That's all they do, is walk through. Not by the dozens, but by the hundreds. This last month we had 350,000 come through in 1 month. There's no way that this nation can sustain that kind of an invasion.
I'm in agreement with you. What else, Joe? I mean, Jim?
Well, lots, Stu. We have the U.S. and the U.K. attacking the Houthis in Yemen, who have been absolutely fearless. They've been interfering with shipping going to Israel alone. They've not allowed ships to dock in Israel for several weeks now. So insofar as Netanyahu is in effect our commander-in-chief, the U.S. and the U.K. have attacked them. It's very, very bad. Here's part of the story. The U.S. and U.K. launch air and missile strikes in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen, aimed at holding attacks on ships in the Red Sea. Biden, U.S. President, said American and British forces with support from Australia, Bahrain, Canada, and the Netherlands were involved in the attack, striking at least 60 targets in 16 locations around Yemen. Biden said these strikes are in direct response to unprecedented Houthi attacks against international maritime vessels in the Red Sea, including the use of anti-ship ballistic missiles for the first time in history. Never explaining, the Houthis are supporting the Palestinians, that they've declared war on Israel, and that their actions are all for the right reason. Thus, the Yemeni government, which is the Houthi government, has responded. All U.S. and U.K. interests in the region are legitimate targets. Here's the official statement. What the country has been subjected to is an unjustified and illegitimate American-British aggression, which violates all international law. All American and British interests have become legitimate targets for the Yemeni armed forces in response to their direct and announced aggression against the Yemeni Republic. And they mean it. Hal Turner, who has been reporting on these developments, and he's often ahead of the curve, offers the following advice for American and British to familiarize themselves with the Houthis before rushing into anything. Get this. They don't follow your movies and TV shows. They're not bothered by your media or social media. psychological warfare is utterly useless against them. They are natural-born fighters, really, no kidding. Their life goal since childhood has been to fight America. Their last will and testament passed down from their ancestors is to liberate Palestine, at the very least. They have 4 to 5 wars of military experience in various terrains. They have all written and recorded their life wills in both audio and video formats. The martyrdom of one of them is a tremendous source of pride for their children, family, village, province, and country. Their poets passionately glorify war more than any love, flirtation, or romance. They all obey their leader, the great Abdul Malik Badr al-Din al-Houthi, with absolute obedience. Their only fear is the punishment and wrath of God if they fail to support the people of Palestine and backtrack on their support. They love death as much as you love life, if not more. They have opened a Pandora's box. American and British interests are going to be hit all over the Middle East, mark my words. This was a calamitous blunder by Biden and the UK. A calamity.
Now, at the top of my website, I posted 3 pictures. One shows Donald Trump with an automatic weapon and a whole bunch of rounds wrapped around his head. And it says, the SHIT is going to hit the fan. Are you coming? I also posted up 435 patriots wanted to restore the Constitution. And underneath that is a flag of Israel with a nuke going off. I thought that was appropriate for Israel and what they're doing. Joe, you want to add to that?
Well, again, it comes down to, this is just one of the components. The Israeli are those big money boys want to change the Gaza into a French Riviera. That's part of it. The other part is to ship out the gas and oil to Europe and be a competitor against Russia. No. And the big banksters are going to get what they want.
All along that coast is natural gas and oil. And I'm aware that Larry Mizell in Denver bribed Omar, the president of Israel, not the prime minister, but the president. And they were brought up on charges and they beat it before the Supreme Court. Now, Omar's in jail, I think, still. He was sentenced about 4 years ago to 6 years in jail for his 12th bribe that he took. They found him guilty and they sent him off to jail where he belongs. But he sold that to Mizell, Larry Mizell, one of the 12 disciples of Satan in Denver. Now, I want you to bring up something, Joe, while we're on the subject. As we did a show on the winter solstice about the human sacrifices that they do. The Chabots. You were talking about the other day, and I noticed it in a posting, about tunnels underneath the Chabots there in New York. Would you explain that?
There is a group of Chabots that get a tunnel from one part of the block to the synagogue itself. And one thing you can be certain of, when people go to make tunnels, they mean to say, we don't want you to see what we're doing.
Now these,
and what does that mean? It means they're trafficking. And I can guarantee just about what they're trafficking. So I would say that tunnel that was discovered is one of the minor tunnels that exist in areas where the Chabads are. Netanyahu has said on several occasions that the Chabad is his personal intelligence agency. So, there you go. We know now what the Chabads are doing.
Now, these are the Jews that run around with these black hats on, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, Jay Parker, who has, I've had him on years ago, but Jay Parker, you want to explain about the ley lines and what he has said about Netanyahu?
All right. Jay Parker was raised in a satanic family. There are two small villages in the east. One is in Delaware, the other one is in Pennsylvania, specifically Rose Valley and Arden, Delaware. There is a ley line. It's called the Arcadia Ley Line. Well, we won't get into thing of whether they exist or not. However, they're doing it. Now, Jay Parker is not one of these guys that is a loose hinge. He was raised in a satanic home. He has on many occasions explained what happened to him. And one of the things that he said was is that he was at occasions of where he saw Netanyahu, and he said Netanyahu is a Satanist.
Jim, what else you got? What do you want to add to that?
Oh, by the way, none of that surprises me at all. And when they discover this tunnel, they start pulling things out of it, and they included a baby high chair. They included a bloody mattress. I have no doubt child sexual abuse and ritual child murder have been taking place in these tunnels. It's completely outrageous and stunning. Meanwhile, we have a fascinating development where the United States cannot account for the presence, really for the absence, of its Secretary of Defense. Reporters are grilling John Kirby on the whereabouts of Lloyd Austin. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby could not answer reporters' question at Wednesday's press conference just a couple days ago on whether Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is still in the hospital or has been released. Kirby opened his part by telling reporters Austin had participated in a briefing Tuesday with Biden and other national security principals on the conflicts in the Red Sea and the Middle East. Later, when asked where Austin was when he took part in the briefing, a pained-looking Kirby shook his head in frustration and said Austin was in the hospital when he took part in the briefing of Biden on Tuesday, but referred reporters to the Pentagon for information on the current whereabouts and condition, indicating a continuing failure by the White House to stay up to date on Austin. The whole situation is absurd. Kirby took several questions confirming Austin did not tell Biden about what they claimed to be his prostate cancer diagnosis, that Austin's month-long secrecy about his cancer diagnosis followed secrecy about having surgery and then being hospitalized for complications, which had prompted calls for Republicans for his resignation or firing. Kirby defended Austin when a reporter questioned whether he's an essential member of the administration, given no one noticed Austin was missing. The White House said Biden has no intention of firing Austin. The very idea that the Secretary of Defense, who's a key player in the chain of command involving decisions of war and peace, would be inaccessible is preposterous. He not only has military protection at all times 24/7, but he's in constant communication with both his superiors and his subordinates. So what the hell is going on? Real Raw News, which is not a trustworthy news site, I believe got this one right. Real Raw News reported Russian claim, Austin dead in Ukraine. Get this. Criminal Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin was allegedly killed in Kiev on January 3rd when Russian cruise missile pelted a command bunker where Austin and Lieutenant General Valery Zaluzhny, Commander-in-Chief of the Ukrainian Army, met secretly to discuss mounting an asymmetrical offensive to bring Vladimir Putin to his knees, claims a Russian FSB source known for providing invaluable intelligence and the truth behind Putin's special military operation in Ukraine. Zakharov, that's the agent, refutes the hospital story because he insists Austin and a bevy of Ukrainian brass were tucked away in what they thought was a secure military command center 20 feet beneath the streets of the Pechersky district in central Kiev. Russian intel had marginal luck tracking Austin's trip into and out of Ukraine since 2023. Austin has spent so much time in Kiev, he had him applied for Ukrainian citizenship, he joked, adding that the secretive and self-admittedly reclusive Austin had traveled to Ukraine from Poland 8 times in 2023. In early November, asbestos hunter killer team entered Kiev undetected after learning Austin had arrived to personally deliver fantastic news to Zelensky that the U.S. and U.K. had voted to give him even more free money and arms. The Spenses had eyes on Austin and Zelensky and came close to killing them, but the team aborted the mission at the last moment due to unforeseen and unspecified complications. Vladimir Putin, he reported, had bestowed upon Austin the title of war criminal. Putin, he added, delighted in Austin's demise. Let me add, it is so embarrassing that the Secretary of Defense would be killed in Kiev under these circumstances when America is not officially at war with Russia, which would thereby be grossly contradicted, an embarrassment of the highest magnitude that they have resorted to utterly incoherent and impossible reports to try to cover it up. I believe now, in the meanwhile, they've been combing through the military to try to find a body double for Austin, but he was rather distinctive, and I think they have been unable to succeed. I now predict you're going to see a hologram of Austin resigning or reported dead from complications for his operation. This is stunning stuff.
That is. Now, you were an officer in the Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps. I was a Lance Corporal. At a time, they weren't given promotions because, and I got meritorious twice, but 0151, Remington Raider, I took care of the records. But Vietnam was coming to an end and they weren't promoting. Now, you as an ex-Marine Corps captain, what would you do if you were still in the service and say you were in charge of Marine Corps intelligence and this sort of thing happened with Austin? What I'd do...
Well, when you're a part of the chain of command, you'd report up the chain, but you would not take other or independent action. It's just... This is just unbelievable. I mean, a blatancy of the lies. There's no possible... Let me give you an illustration. My dear friend and colleague, Scott Bennett, was an Army PSYOP and intel officer. And in Georgetown, this would have been 20 years ago, he encountered Donald Rumsfeld on the street, and he waved out to the Secretary of Defense and greeted him. And as he did so, four SEALs who were in the vicinity he had not previously observed emerged. You know, the Secretary of Defense is under constant protection 24/7. The very idea he could have been out of communication is preposterous. These are totally implausible, incoherent claims being made, which put the big lies in the administration, because what they're saying cannot possibly be true, and now we know the reason why.
Now, Scott's a friend of mine too, and I haven't done any shows with him in a while, and I see that you've done some with him, but Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman, beat by one vote, they kicked her out. She was pretty honest. She had brought Scott to me, and there's some recordings of her and Scott and I together, but Scott worked with Ed Snowden in the same building when Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense. Now, they were supplying Rumsfeld was supplying all these documents over to the building that was run by Israelis, owned by an Israeli firm, that Scott was tracing money, foreign money and money, trying to get the details of it. And he was working in the same building with Ed Snowden. Now, Ed Snowden blew the whistle on the fact that the government was doing all this illegal activity against us patriots out here, those making noise, etc. And he had to leave the country. And he didn't violate any laws because they weren't allowed, the government wasn't allowed to do what they were doing. And Snowden exposed it. But Scott got nailed, and he had told me that up on the top floor of this building that Rumsfeld was supplying all these top secret documents, and two Israelis were coming over there every day and picking up what they needed, that Rumsfeld was committing treason and sedition by supplying the Israelis with this information. Now, Scott got nailed, thrown in jail for 30-some-odd months, I think 38 months or something like that, and he discovers he's in jail with the same person that he was chasing pertaining to all this money laundering and so forth, and he got the evidence on it. Eventually, he did get out of jail, but 38 months later, that's what happens to a whistleblower. But anyway, you want to comment on that, Joe? Joe? Are you still with us, Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, you're right. He published a book about it called Shell Game, about how they'd move money around and all that. Yes, related to 9/11. You're absolutely correct, Stu.
Now,
I'm sorry if we lost Joel. I was eager to get his reaction to the situation with Lloyd Austin. I'd like your thoughts about Lloyd Austin, because I'm convinced the only reason, you know, they put out these fantastic stories is because Austin did die in Ukraine, and that they would go to such lengths to cover it up confirms his death. Your thoughts?
Exactly the same as yours. I came to that conclusion is they bumped him off.
Okay.
They do that all the time, as you know, and Lloyd got it. And so he's now passed on.
Okay, now, what else you want to report on, Jim or Joe?
Well, we have the genocide case against Israel in the International Court of Justice. This is huge. The evidence is simply overwhelming. Normally, the difficult aspect of a genocide trial would be getting evidence of intent. But in this case, you have so many statements from Israeli officials that the proof of genocidal intent is not only chilling, but overwhelming and incontrovertible. I even have here a portion, let me play, of a South African attorney presenting the case for genocide before the International Court of Justice.
Madam President, and distinguished members of the court, it is a privilege to appear before the court on behalf of South Africa. I will address Israel's genocidal intent. At this stage, the court is not required to determine that the only inference to be drawn from the available evidence is genocidal to order provisional measures, as that is to decide the merits. Rather, the assessment of the existence of an intent to destroy could be made by the court only at the stage of the examination of the merits. That some of the alleged acts may also amount to atrocities other than genocide does not exclude the finding of plausible acts of genocide. Madam President, South Africa is not alone in drawing attention to Israel's genocidal rhetoric against Palestinians in Gaza. 15 United Nations Special Rapporteurs and 21 members of the United Nations Working Groups have warned that what is happening in Gaza reflects a genocide in the making and an overt intent to destroy the Palestinian people and our occupation.
There's much more here, the point being the following. Even the highest ranking, the Prime Minister of Israel, has declared their genocidal intent. The Secretary of Defense, the head of their Israeli Defense Forces have all acknowledged the idea of wiping Palestine clean of Palestinians, of leveling up, burning it to the ground. This, in my opinion, is a slam dunk, and it could lead to the expulsion of Israel from the United Nations. And because the United States is complicit by providing the weaponry, we are accessories to this crime of genocide, and our status with the UN is going to be in the crosshairs in the aftermath. Guaranteed. Mark my words.
I'm in agreement, Joe.
Same thing, absolutely. This is genocidal. You can watch videos, and their technique is drop a bomb on a building, send in the tanks, blow it up some more, then send the troops in to pump bullets into anybody that's left.
Now, I want to add something about the Palestinians. They were in what they call Israel today. And some Jews, these were Ukrainians, they aren't true Hebrew. The Palestinians are true Hebrew, and there was a video at one time from a professor from the University of Jerusalem and another university here in America. And he had a video up, I put it up, and he spent $5 billion grant he got to do the study on the true Hebrews of ancient times, bloodline. And he found that 92% of them in Palestine were the true Hebrews. Now, the ones that occupied, came in, were General Rafael Atan, Michael Hariri, who was the head of the Mossad before his death, and his father, and others that were these Ukrainian fake Jews, they call themselves Jews, okay? And David, by the way, never had any flag, which they fly over Israel today and claims that that's Star of David. It looks like a satanic symbol to me, but that's their flag. In 1947, they were the ones that were given Adolf Hitler before that, during World War II, the true Hebrew bloodline. Turn them over, that some of them to be executed, which were killed. A lot of them, that it's overinflated on the amount because they try to say, oh, they're the true Hebrews. They aren't. In the study that this professor did, he said that over 92% of them in Israel today are not the true Hebrew bloodline. Now, in 1947, General Rafael Atan and Michael Hariri's father and the others go in and invade Palestine, which is where the flag of Israel flies today that they claim is Israel. They went in there and slaughtered 40,000 Palestinians, true Hebrew, buried them in mass graves, stuck a flag up that said Israel, and they turn around and the United Nations the next year in 1948 accept them as an official state. Today, as I said, 92% of them in Israel are not true Hebrew bloodline. They are the Khazarian Jews from the Ukraine that came over from that area. Now, those true Hebrews were driven into what they call Palestine. Okay? Now they're in there slaughtering them to get rid of them. All of them. They don't want them to exist. Joe or Jim, you want to comment on that?
Well, of course, you're 100% correct. Absolutely, that's right. In fact, the war in Ukraine really is to turn Ukraine into the new Israel, because there are descendants genetically from that region, just as you've explained. But Russia's defeat has made that impossible. And I believe that's been a major part of the motivation now for doing this tidying up in Palestine. of killing or removing all the Palestinians from land to which they have a rightful claim of possession dating back 2,000 or 3,000 years. So the whole situation is outrageous historically, religiously, morally, politically. But the Israelis believe might makes right. They don't believe in international law, the Hague Convention, the Geneva Convention, the Genocide Convention. They're violating them all because those are merely man's law, and they're responding to a higher order of authority, God's law, which has designated them as the chosen people who are entitled to the promised land, and they're welcome to slaughter, to murder anyone who stands in their way. And if you have doubts about it, you can consult the Old Testament, read various books, and you're going to find genocide after genocide endorsed by, encouraged by their God. So this is perfectly consistent with their position historically, and a travesty. And it's admirable that South Africa is holding them to account by bringing this charge in the United Nations' highest legal authority, the International Court of Justice.
Joe, you want to comment on it?
Well, there's a lot of history that goes behind these Khazarians. And so if you want to, you can go into YouTube, and there is a splendid series of videos on what they call the Gok Turks. And that is the origin of the Khazars. It was part of a greater culture that existed in that area, all the way from China, all the way to what we call Anatolia. So take a look at it, and you get an idea about the Gok Turks and the Khazarians. The Khazarians they say there is not enough writing. Oh yeah, there is plenty of it. Look under Gok Turks. You'll see their history.
Okay. Jim, what else you got to report on, you or Jill?
Well, I want to give you a nice final concluding thoughts from Wayne Root, who published on Twitter. Ever wondered what it would look like if U.S. were at war with the Houthis and Iran and China and Russia and North Korea, while our military admits there are no recruits and we send all our weapons to Ukraine? Get ready for the most interesting year in U.S. history. And frankly, I don't think we're going to like the outcome.
Joe, you want to add to that?
Exactly, because of people that are coming through the border, they know they know that the Arab is going to come in here and do his warfare, his asymmetrical warfare, right here in the United States.
Now, you sent me a video, and I posted it up, of about 5 million Chinese troops. These are people all buffed up, wearing boots, and everything else, coming across illegally into the United States, and they're letting them in. And there's 5 million of them, they're Chinese folks. Now, the Chinese have a police station in New York, and they have a police station in Washington, D.C. Why do they have a police station? What's all that about? Why is our government allowing such action? Because of the possible overthrow, I think we will be at war. Now, I want to add a couple things. One is I want to change subject and go to the fact of all these earthquakes that we've had. I posted them up, and I was having a heck of a lot of problems with my website, folks. Government doing everything they could to keep from posting my radio shows, everything they could to keep from posting links. I mean, I've gone through hell in the past month to fix it all, and it's all fixed now. So now it's operational. But I posted up about all these earthquakes over the past couple weeks. I mean, look at what China had about 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks ago. They had an earthquake, 155,000 houses and buildings pretty much leveled. They were destroyed. They couldn't be rebuilt, or they would have to be a new home, etc. And then we had the one in Japan, and then they had a second one in Japan, and it's leveled about half of Japan, is what my understanding is. Then we've had all these earthquakes like up in New York between Long Island and Queens. There was an earthquake, and they had explosions. They reported the next day of the explosions that occurred at the time in different buildings. And then they had, you know, earthquakes in Maryland and another state up in the Northeast, that this was the first time people felt their houses shake. Then they had an earthquake down in the New Madrid Fault, which some lady was on TV, and she said, and I saw it on the evening news, this was the day after, they had one. It was only 3.2, I believe. And the New Madrid is in the Four Corners of Missouri, folks. It's between Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Illinois. And you go up to USGS.gov, you can see that it shakes all the time like the fault lines in California. But the New Madrid's very important. It's very important. This is the first time she said she's lived there for 40 years, and she felt her house swaying back and forth. It felt like being in a boat rocking to the left, to the right, etc. That's when this fault line had an earthquake. I think it was a week ago or a week and a half ago. Now, Super Spook Otis Johnson had 3 PhDs that the CIA gave him. San Antonio, he had to spend a year each time getting his PhD. One was in oil, the other was in finance, and I forgot what the third one was in. But he worked for General Flynn, and he worked at the NSA in his last year, 2017, when they murdered him with sonar technology that they hit a lot of people with. It causes you cramps in the middle of the night. You have to do a lot of supplements. Breaks down your immune system after 5 years, and you die of a natural cold. Turns into pneumonia. Now, they hit him because he was on his deathbed, and his son answered his cell phone. And I said, what's going on? I don't want to mention his son's name. But he told me, Dad's in the hospital up there in Omaha, Veterans Hospital. And he says, put Stu up the phone up. So he puts up, he said, they got me this time. They hit me with sonar. They caused me a massive heart attack. He says, I can feel death coming, Stu. And I told him, I said, Otis, you know, I'm sorry to hear this. Called him next day. He says, I'm going into hiding. I'm in the car. I'm going into hiding. I'm going to try to stay alive. No, he didn't. And his IQ was so high that I had asked him, I said, if anything ever happens to you, I said, where are you going to be buried? And this is before this ever occurred in 2017. And at the time, in 2017, he was working for General Flynn, who was the head of national security. And he said, don't worry about Mueller, Stu. If they don't arrest Hildebeest, he says, I'm going to be arresting Mueller myself, who was pushing the prosecution on the fake dossier they had before Congress. Now, that's how important he was. He worked out of his home on a computer at the NSA and kept us safe at night. There were 150 of them that were part of a think tank that kept the country alive and watched all events worldwide. But Otis told me that New Madrid, when that fault went off, or that British petroleum spill, I think it was in 2010, as I recall, or 2011. He told me it was intentional. They blew up that platform out in the ocean. Well, if you ever look at one of those platforms, it's burning off on top. It's got a big fireball coming out the top where they're burning off methane gas and a second gas. I forgot the name of the other gas. But if you breathe 1 ounce of it or take a breath of it, you're dead. Kills you. The New Madrid, they found out that that fault line, or that artery running from that oil, that British petroleum oil spill that they sent the Valdez skimmer in and some other skimmers that sucked up all that oil. I watched it, and I saw that BP reported a 333,000% increase in profit that they didn't pay tax on until they were having an oil shortage at the time, that they didn't pay that tax until they sold the oil. Refined it and sold it. Turned it into gas, etc. But that New Madrid, they found out that two people were dead down in the Four Corners down there, had died from breathing methane gas. And so the government went in there and moved everybody out of this whole county because they were afraid that all it took was a match, cigarette lit, or a pilot light from a gas heater. Or a pilot light from a, you know, water tank would blow the place up. Now, That gas was seeping out of there. They sent the Tennessee National Guard in there, and they protected the whole county. They moved everybody out, compensated, and our government did. The gas is still coming up out of there, and they can't do anything about it. Now, Otis told me, the oil expert, PhD, he said that the artery ran from the New Madrid all the way out to the Gulf, where they intentionally blew that platform to get the oil out of. And then he says it takes a hook, and it runs over and surrounds the southern part of Florida, folks. Southern part of Florida. Now, he told me, and if anybody lit a match, it would open up the Gulf of Mexico. It would be like a nuke going off right there in the Four Corners. And it would open up the Gulf of Mexico all the way to the Great Lakes. It'd wipe out Chicago. It'd do such and such. Now, I went back in this week and got the Scallon map. And it's up on my website under Breaking News, and it shows the earth changes. It shows the southern tip of Florida gone. It shows the Gulf open up to the Great Lakes. It shows California drops off, and they call them the islands of California sticking up out of there. Take a look at that map. Now, Joe, you or Jim want to comment on this?
Well, if you want to take a look at things, I suggest you go look at the Scallion maps, S-C-A-L-L-I-O-N, and that could be a possibility, because I believe that these earthquakes are man-made. They're used for political reasons. Maybe Japan didn't do something, and so they got punished. China didn't do something, so they got punished.
They're all surface-level earthquakes. They're not normal. And I understand from a CI source of mine, they've got a satellite out there that they're doing it with. Just like Dane Wigginton's been reporting on this chemical they're dumping to cause this earth weather change and the other things. I mean, geoengineering watch is pretty accurate. But a CI source of mine told me that these are satellite earthquakes that they're doing. You want to report on anything on this, Jim?
Stu, I don't feel qualified to address it. You certainly are describing a horrific scenario. I simply do not know enough to take a stand one way or the other.
Okay, now, Joe, you want to add anything else on this subject?
That's about it.
Okay, I want to bring up something else. Nikki Haley's running for president of the United States against DeSantis and against Donald Trump. Nikki Haley had been taking money and has taken money from the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H brothers. I did a post up there about this. The Koch brothers, Otis had told me, Gene Chip Tatum told me, we interviewed him on December the 6th, and Tatum had to leave the country after burning, they tried to murder him, everything else, after burning Jeb Bush's election by putting the Tatum Chronicles underneath there. But I did an hour show with him. He's in another country. Here's the point. Nikki Haley, or the Koch brothers, hauls drugs for the CIA and has for years. That's how they made their fortune, hauling drugs for the Central Intelligence Agency, constantly hauling drugs. Nikki Haley has taken money from the Koch brothers, has taken money, illegal money, drug money, which is illegal to accept drug money from a drug dealer or drug smugglers, drug trafficking. It is illegal to do that. She should be prosecuted for this. She should be given the money back, prosecuted, etc., for taking this. This is illegal political campaign money laundering into Nikki Haley's campaign. And if anybody's listening to this, pass this link around, because I'm going to be adding more stuff on this Koch brothers. And if you go on and look at the page, you'll see they support the Aspen Institute. They support this institute. They support this stuff. All Rockefeller, New World Order stuff. I mean, to the max, Rockefeller, Rothschilds, etc. But you need to take a look at the post I put up there. It's pretty important for people to see this. You have any comment on that, Jim or Joe?
Well, she deserves the nickname Trump has given her of bird brain. She is unbearable to listen to. There is some speculation that she is the Republican, you know, Hillary Clinton, that she's a Democrat, basically, in her policies. And while there's an effort here to support her to try to derail Trump, it ain't gonna happen. Trump supporters are not gonna be deferred by a lightweight, harebrained, a woman who has a screechy voice and who, when recently asked what were the causes of the Civil War, could not answer the question. Here you have the governor of South Carolina, unable to address questions about the Civil War, which of course was actually fought over the right of the state to secede from the Union, where an aspect of the economic background was, of course, the issue of slavery. But for a candidate from South Carolina to be unable to answer the question is pathetic. She's a mediocrity. She's not going to make a difference. She will wind up in the dustbin of history as completely and absolutely as Kamala Harris, I have no doubt.
Well, we got the thing going on in Iowa Monday, and people are going to be voting, so anybody listening, get this link, pass it around about this witch. I'm calling her a witch, because that's what she is. She's a bird brain, is right. Joe, you got any comment on it?
Well, it's just everything that you said. The Koch brothers are very corrupt. Their father was involved in the Bolshevik Revolution. He made his money off of a bit, and he got stiff by the Stalin regime. They got pissed off. He got pissed off and left. How do you leave Russia when you no one is allowed to have passports? Well, you got to be a guy like Koch, heavily involved, multi-billionaire, came to the United States.
And they're based out of Kansas, folks, where I'm sitting. Based out of Kansas. But I wanted to bring that up because Nikki Haley needs to be prosecuted. I mean, this woman knows too much. She has to know that they're hauling drugs and the other stuff. Joe, Jim, you got any comment?
No, I think we've covered the bases today. Stu, thanks for the opportunity to join you and Joel once again.
You're welcome. Any last comments, Joe?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, I want to thank Professor James Spetzer and Professor Jonah. Jim, give out your website.
Well, jameshfetzer.org and BitChute Channel Jim Fetzer, and I'm on Twitter at Jim Fetzer.
All right. Jamesfetzer.org, correct?
H. You got to put an H in there.
Okay, an H.
My old blog was James Fetzer. My new blog is jameshfetzer.org.
Okay, James A. Fetzer. Okay. I'll put a link up to your site. Thank you both very much for doing the show with me. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Joe. Have a good one, both of you.